The patient we interviewed for this program had recently completed her adjuvant chemotherapy when the initial results of the adjuvant trastuzumab trials were presented, and like many patients in this situation, this woman ended up receiving so-called delayed adjuvant Herceptin. I asked Dr. Miller to comment on this treatment strategy.
Before Herceptin was available, the HER2-positive tumors we tended to think of as the most aggressive and the most dangerous to women who were newly diagnosed and both who had overt metastatic disease. They tended to have a higher risk of recurrence and a shorter overall survival. That has really completely changed with the incorporation of Herceptin, which is an antibody that stops the function of that HER2 growth factor. And adding Herceptin to whatever other therapy that patient's receiving, which likely included chemotherapy and may also have included anti-estrogen therapy if their tumor had both HER2 and the estrogen receptor, decreases the recurrence by about half again. So whatever remaining risk you're left with after you've gotten the benefits of those other therapies, adding Herceptin will cut that risk in half. And that's a striking benefit for those patients and has really made this a group of patients who went from having one of the worst prognoses to really flipping and becoming one of the best. Trastuzumab or Herceptin is an antibody that binds to the HER2 growth factor. That's a growth factor that about 20 to 25% of breast cancers have. And there were several trials that all sort of came to giving us results within a fairly short time that looked at whether women who had HER2-positive breast cancer, meaning it had that growth factor, did better with chemotherapy by itself or chemotherapy with Herceptin added. Now, many of these women got other therapies. They had surgery or radiation or hormone therapy based on other features of their tumor. But the key question of this study was Herceptin or no Herceptin, with the other therapies being standard. And all of those trials found remarkably consistent results. And I think it truly is remarkable how consistent they were, because the trials all had slightly different criteria for which patients could enroll. Some required you to have lymph node involvement. Some allowed patients who were node negative to enroll. They had different chemotherapy regimens that they used. Some of them had different durations of Herceptin or different timing of when the Herceptin was added. And despite all of those differences, the main question of Herceptin versus not gave the same answer. And in each of those trials, the risk of recurrence was decreased by about half in the women who got Herceptin compared to those who didn't.
And that was over and above any decrease they might get with chemotherapy or hormone therapy.
Exactly, because all of these women got some other form of therapy, usually chemotherapy, and if their tumors were estrogen positive, they would have also gotten hormone therapy.
That was really a major breakthrough, and that was May 2005. That was really a major moment in breast cancer clinical research.
It's a huge improvement, and I think, or at least we hope, it's the first of many that will come. And it's unique in that Herceptin was developed really based on good science and understanding the biology of breast cancer. So many of our other chemotherapies were sort of developed empirically. They were often extracted from plants, and you found if you put them on cancer cells, it made the cells stop growing. But we didn't understand a lot about why or how to select patients for them. Herceptin actually was developed in a different way. We looked at breast cancers that were more aggressive and found the most aggressive breast cancers had this HER2 protein. And patients who had that HER2 protein on their tumors were more likely to recur after first diagnosis, and they didn't live as long after they had a recurrence. And this therapy was developed specifically to inhibit that growth factor that we had identified in the laboratory as being important. So now it comes full circle and goes back to the clinic and shows that this approach really works. If you understand the biology of the breast cancer, you develop a therapy to specifically block or inhibit it in a way that makes sense, and then move that back to the clinic, it's not only effective, but you get a much bigger improvement in the results than the small incremental improvements we'd made in the past.
So is Herceptin now used as adjuvant therapy in all women with HER2-positive tumors?
Almost all. There are still a lot of questions about Herceptin. And that's one thing patients need to understand as well, that good results from a trial or results from well-done science often pose many more questions than they answer. So there are patients that we still struggle with, patients who have a very small tumor, who have a very low risk of recurrence, but whose tumors are HER2 positive. What about those patients? If their tumors are so small that you wouldn't contemplate chemotherapy, should you still think about giving those women Herceptin? How long should you give women Herceptin? What about those women who were diagnosed with HER2-positive disease a year or two or three ago, before we had these results, who didn't participate in those trials or maybe did participate in the trial but didn't get Herceptin? Should we go back and give those women Herceptin now? And if those women are getting Herceptin, what's the best way to do it? What's the best chemotherapy partner? And how should we best integrate it in terms of the timing with their other therapies? All of those questions will be the subjects of future studies.